Welcome to the Agency in Focus, Navy, sponsored by Leidos.
As long as the Navy has had ships, it's operated facilities to maintain them. Last year, the Norfolk Naval Shipyard celebrated 250 years in business. Tom Tamman here. For an update on what it takes to maintain carriers, other surface ships, and submarines, I spoke with Captain Jip Mossman, Acting Shipyard Commander.
My name is Captain Jip Mossman. I'm the Code 900 Production Resources Officer and currently acting as the Commanding Officer for Norfolk Naval Shipyard.
Okay, so let's start with the scope and mission of Norfolk. I'm not sure people necessarily understand how big and extensive it is.
Right, so our shipyard here, our mission is to maintain and modernize naval ships, and in particular, majority of our workload is the nuclear submarines and nuclear aircraft carriers. So we have a full-service fleet capability. You know, we are in conjunction with our other public shipyards like Pearl Harbor Naval Shipyard, Puget Sound Naval Shipyard, and Portsmouth Naval Shipyard. We make up the four public shipyards that do this kind of work for the Navy.
And so when you say nuclear subs and nuclear, which is all of the subs, and
right.
Nuclear carriers, which is all of the carriers, that means destroyers and other types of ships go elsewhere for their maintenance?
That's correct.
And I would think that the nuclear end of all of this is such a large and distinct capability that it has to be done in one place where there's all of this expertise.
That's correct. Yeah, there are only, you know, the four public yards and a couple private yards that that either build or maintain, modernize nuclear-powered vessels, and that's, you know, very important for the fleet, and that's what our mission is.
And explain how that all works, the refueling and refurbishing of nuclear-powered vessels, because they don't just go to a gas station and, you know, so to speak, or no tanker rolls up to them and fills them with oil or fuel.
Right. So are the ships come in to what we call an availability, which is a set time in their life cycle where they come in to the yard. And, these operations take, a couple years to longer to do these refuelings. And essentially the nuclear material is removed and replaced with new material. And then meanwhile, while that's going on, the ship is also modernized, refurbished, new equipment installed, updates to various systems, all done while they're in the availability.
So availability means it's actually not available to the Navy during
right.
that time.
Correct. That's just a term that's used, called the Chief of Naval Operations Availability, but it's the maintenance availability. So it's time for it to do the maintenance.
And what types of people and what kinds of training do they have to be able to do that? That sounds highly specialized.
It is highly specialized. So we have mechanics and engineers and quality specialists and many different people that are involved in it. But you're correct. It's a lot of training. It's a lot of practice. It's a lot of precision. And then they go in and do this very carefully and very methodically and precisely.
And the fact that there are maybe multiple nuclear reactors being worked on at a given time, safety must come into this in a pretty big way.
Well, safety is very important all the way across, whether it's any vessel anywhere we are. So it's very much a high priority for us. Our number one priority is the safety of our people. And we take it very seriously no matter what we're doing, whether what part of the vessel we're on or where we're at in the world. The safety is number one.
And on these refuelings, is this civilian personnel or uniformed or a combination?
It's a combination, essentially. A majority of the work is done by the civilian workforce, but the ship's crew, which is obviously in uniform, they're also part of that team, and they're part of the effort that goes into work on the vessel.
And do you do the nuclear refueling on both subs and carriers?
The refuelings we do here on the submarines, we do not do the refueling on the aircraft carriers. But for both vessels and any other vessel we support, it's the maintenance, the modernization, repairs.
And talk about what are some of the other things that happen to a ship that, besides the reactors. You mentioned they're refurbished and refitted and so forth. How extensive can that be?
It can be very extensive. If you see a ship that's in deep into a maintenance availability like we have here, and you go inside, many things are torn apart, taken out, refurbished, redone, put back together, brought back to the ship, all the way from pumps and valves and piping to the habitability beds to putting in new combat systems, updated computers, all that kind of stuff. This is the opportunity to really do that deep maintenance that because the ship's not, it's available just for the maintenance. That's the only thing it's doing at that point. So there's time, and that's our opportunity to go in and do that deep maintenance.
And what about corrosion or barnacles or whatever maintenance issues are on the bottom, the parts that are below the waterline? How does that happen?
That's correct. If we have the opportunity, depends on what, you know, where it is in the life cycle of the ship, we will put the ship in the in a dry dock. And when it's in the dry dock, we do clean the hull, paint the hull, preserve the hull. Also, you talk about corrosion. You go inside the ship in tanks and in the structure, and you always do inspections. And if you find, you know, any kind of corrosion or deterioration, we repair that too as well.
How do dry docks work? Is it a wet dock when the ship goes in and then you drain it?
Yeah, we have what we call graving docks. We have 5 graving docks here at Norfolk Naval Shipyard. And essentially, you're right, it's like a big bathtub. You take a gate out in one end, fills up. You move the ship in, and then you put a gate back in that end of the dock, and then you slowly pump the water out. The ship or submarine settles on what we call the blocks, and then you pump all the rest of the water out of the dock, and then it's sitting in the dry dock.
That must be an impressive sight, seeing one of those things on the blocks, especially if you can walk under it.
It is. It is very impressive.
And what about the propellers? I'm just curious about that. Do they require maintenance and removal from time to time?
They do, right, and those are taken care of. Something we take care of as well.
And when maintenance is being done on a given vessel, is the original contractor, the builder, involved in this at all?
Sometimes they are. We, for the most part, we are doing all the work as Norfolk Naval Shipyard. But on occasion, depending on what the work is, what's going on, we could have the original contractor in as a subcontractor doing work on the vessel as well.
And do you have all the blueprints, and what sort of forms are those in? I imagine they're electronic nowadays.
Right. We do have all the blueprints for the ships, and for the most part, they are electronic. However, there's also a lot of paper copies as well.
And what about submarines? What are the particular issues with subs that come in for maintenance? Do they also take all of the refitting and refurbishing interior and outside are also in dry dock like ships?
Correct. Yes. You know, both submarines and aircraft carriers, similar type evolutions when we bring them into the dry dock.
And just for background purposes, the Norfolk Naval Shipyard, where does that fit in the naval hierarchy? Are you under NAVSEA, for example, or where do you fit in?
We fall under actually two. We fall under U.S. Fleet Forces with Admiral Grady. That's the operational side of the house. And we fall under Commander Naval Sea Systems Command, Vice Admiral Moore, for the maintenance component.
Yeah, so you're kind of a hybrid in terms of reporting.
We are, correct.
Navy Captain Jip Mossman is acting commander of the Norfolk Naval Shipyard. I'll be back after this short break when we discuss how naval architecture comes into play, even when refurbishing existing ships. I'm Tom Temin.
Leidos has proudly supported the U.S. Navy for nearly 50 years with systems and solutions that span from seafloor to cyberspace. We're advancing global missions with agile, innovative IT and providing cyber expertise built for resilience and rapid response to ever-evolving threats. Our team brings commercial best practices and leading-edge technologies matched with a deep understanding of the defense sector's most complex challenges. At Leidos, we're developing practical answers for a complicated world. Visit leidos.com/seafloor to learn how.
Welcome back to our interview with Navy Captain Jip Mossman, acting commander of the Norfolk Naval Shipyard. It's a shipyard to be sure, but I asked him to clarify a common misconception. And I guess we should also point out that you don't build ships there, but only repair them and maintain them.
That's correct. Yeah, we have not built a ship in the Norfolk Naval Shipyard since 1953. That was the last one built here. So our mission now is repairing and refurbishing and modernization.
But does even that activity require naval architecture knowledge?
Oh, yes. Yes, we have naval archs on our staff that are very much involved. You know, when you dock a ship, naval architects are very much involved in that evolution.
I imagine if you don't do the refurbishing and reinstallation correctly, or do it without measuring everything right, a ship could maybe list a little bit when it's refloated.
Correct. The naval architects do, you talk about weights, moments, you're exactly right. You add equipment, remove equipment as you go through the modernization. All that is tracked very closely, so the naval architects can keep track of just what you said, make sure we don't have a list or a trim situation.
I mean, as big and heavy as they are, these ships are probably, I imagine, more precise than people might ordinarily realize.
Yes, they are. Everything is measured pretty much down to the thousandth of an inch.
Wow, yeah. So do they get longer or shorter over their lifespan or in different temperatures of water?
Are you talking the overall ship?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would. Yes, but just by metal expanding or contracting, they do. And believe it or not, these big ships actually are flexible too. And you have, you know, hundreds of feet or 1,000 feet a ship. There's flexibility in that, so that's factored in when we dock the ships as well.
What would happen if, say, a ship had something unplanned happen? And it does happen. Ships get rammed once in a while, or they get damaged or grounded. How do you account for the capacity you might need for an unplanned maintenance visit?
For an unplanned maintenance, if there was some type of situation where we need to do some unplanned maintenance, we work with our fleet operation side, for the fleet forces side. We work with both and the maintenance side. We determine what docks are available. We go do assessments. We determine how much time it would take to repair, or what the effort is going to be required, and then we, as a team, with the fleet and the NAVC, we work out where it's going to go, when it's going to go into the dock, and then we'd go execute that evolution.
And during these availabilities, the crew of the ship, are any of them around to supervise or understand what's happening to the ship, or do they just change crews altogether after the availability?
The crew is actually a very important partner in we do these availabilities. They stay on board in the respect that they're still working on the ship. They have maintenance that they do. It's not as detailed or as deep as what we do with the shipyard, but they are also doing maintenance. They're involved with the day-to-day evolutions, and they're also, you know, learning as well. So we work hand-in-hand, side-by-side with the ship's force to execute these availabilities.
How much paint does it take to paint a hull?
I can't tell you that, but it's a lot more than to paint your house.
Yeah, probably more than to paint, like, the George Washington Bridge or something.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a lot of paint, though.
And it's heavy. All right, well, just curious about that. And let's go on to talk about some of the innovation type of work that happens throughout the life cycle down at Norfolk.
Right, so we have lots of innovation going on in the shipyard. We have a technology and innovation lab, and they are bringing in state-of-the-art things such as additive manufacturing, virtual augmented or mixed reality, robotics, laser ablation, and they're bringing that technology in, exciting technology from out in industry, and then helping us integrate that into the work we do here. We also have a rapid prototype center, which is an area where, our employees, nobody knows better how to make something better than the guy on the deck plate looking at it. He comes up with an idea, he goes to the Rapid Prototype Center, and then the folks in there help him bring that idea to reality. So we innovate on the move there as well.
And with respect to additive manufacturing, what types of parts do you imagine could be rendered that way in the future, maybe right on the ships themselves at sea?
Yeah, I'm not an expert in additive manufacturing, but I know we're looking at anything from plastics to metals, to any shape and component, and that's all, the research is being done right now, and that's what we're working on.
I think right now one ship is testing a steam trap that was made additively.
I don't know about that. It could very well be. I know that's where the Navy, innovation in the Navy as a whole is very important, and I know there are lots of efforts, across the enterprise.
And where might robotics fit into the picture?
Well, I don't have a good example for it, but I can tell you some of the pretty amazing equipment we have. For instance, we have one that used to be like you took a section of pipe out and you had to replace it. There's a lot of manual measurements and go fit it, make sure it's okay. And now we have a technology, and it's a lot like a robot arm, but we go down there and it's very precise measurements. You clamp it down and measure point A to point B, and it gives you within 1/1000th of an inch. Then you take that same now computer data, bring it up to the shop, and you can recreate the exact same thing in the shop using those same measurements. And technology like that is making it much easier and making us more efficient to get our work done.
And are you using technology to maybe do predictive analysis on when parts might be need replacement or need to be repaired or upgraded in some way, such that the crew doesn't have to wait till it fails?
I don't have the information on that, and I don't. That's not really what we're focused on. That's more of a life cycle, determination. Like I say, we're really working on the repair, modernization side of the ship.
Sure, and over time, does the work that you do there, I imagine it must generate knowledge of ship life cycle issues, and do these get fed back to the contractors when they're building or designing ships in the first place?
Yes, they do. Yeah, we have a staff of engineers that that help, you know, not only plan the work that we're doing, but as problems come up, they work, help work with solutions, and then they communicate those solutions through other areas of the Navy and, you know, for other people to take action on as well.
I imagine even in a given series of ship, and say you're going to build, you know, we'll have built, say, 25 of a given type of ship, or even 11 of them in the case of carriers, by the time they're done with the last few ships, there might be some learning that has been baked into those relative to the first few.
That's correct. And it's not only just the building. It's as we repair ships, you know, all these classes of ships, the maintenance through the life cycle, you know, each one of the class you work on, we learn that. We get better. We, as we see things repeatedly, then we look for better ways to do it and what lessons we've learned, and we pass those on and incorporate them in the next time we have another one of those class of ship come in.
Navy Captain Jip Mossman is acting commander of the Norfolk Naval Shipyard. After this short break, we discuss the shipyard optimization plan. I'm Tom Temin.
Leidos has proudly supported the U.S. Navy for nearly 50 years with systems and solutions that span from seafloor to cyberspace. We're advancing global missions with agile, innovative IT and providing cyber expertise built for resilience and rapid response to ever-evolving threats. Our team brings commercial best practices and leading-edge technologies matched with a deep understanding of the defense sector's most complex challenges. At Leidos, we're developing practical answers for a complicated world. Visit leidos.com/seafloor to learn how.
Welcome back to our interview with Navy Captain Jip Mossman, acting commander of the Norfolk Naval Shipyard. In this final segment, I asked him about a big initiative to refurbish and update the yard itself.
Shipyard Optimization Plan is a program that's going to estimate at about $21 billion over the next 20 years. It's going to be fed into some refurbishment of facilities, dry dock capital recapitalization, and capital equipment improvements across all four of the shipyards. So we are, you know, a piece of that. And that's just, it's an up to update our facilities. You know, we have facilities on this shipyard. You know, Norfolk Naval Shipyard is, we just celebrated our 251st birthday, older than the nation. We have many facilities on this shipyard that are 100 plus years old. In fact, some going all the way back to the 1830s. So, and when we built ships back in the day, how they were laid out is different than what we need today. So, optimization is looking at how do we upgrade the buildings, upgrade our process flow, upgrade the way we do our business, and invest some funding and money into those improvements in the facilities, do some updates and repairs to dry docks, and then also recapitalization, getting new equipment in for our, the guys in the shops that use it.
Do you know what is the oldest piece of capital there, or the oldest building?
I don't know. The oldest, I know we have a couple buildings back in the 1830s time frame, and we have equipment. I know we have equipment that was, we have some of it dating back to a pre-World War II that, you know, still being used. It's good, hardy equipment, but it's obviously very old, and there's some new, exciting equipment out there that would do the same job and probably do a little bit easier.
I was going to say maybe it would it is part of the capitalization goal or the optimization goal to reduce times of availability.
That is always our effort, and you're exactly right. As we if we had more efficient layouts and new equipment that could do it, computer aided, for instance, we're always looking for efficiencies to reduce the time that we have the ships in these availabilities.
What is your very first few priorities for optimization once the money starts coming through? You're not going to get it all at once, of course.
We have a priority list set up. I can't speak to it. I don't have it in front of me, but we have a priority list of how we want to go address some of our bigger issues. And then right now the team is actually working through laying out the 20-year plan and from now all the way till the late 2030s. And so that is in progress right now, and that's all I have on that.
Sure, and is the commander's housing in pretty good shape?
I don't know. Actually, I don't go over there, so I'm not sure.
Okay, because, sometimes the housing on bases tends to get a little long in tooth also.
Yeah, so and this optimization is focused on the ship repair side, the maintenance side, for the facilities for the what executing the repairs, not necessarily for the rest of the base.
And let's talk about the workforce there. You've got both civilian and uniform Navy people. What types of talents do you look for, and what's life like on a place that big?
Well, we have. In fact, we have. We just got there again. First time since the early 1990s, we are over 11,000 civilian employees at the shipyard right now. We also have about 700 military personnel assigned here that work not only here but over at our site at Naval Station Norfolk as well, supporting the ships there.
And what types of jobs are there? I mean, machinists, CAD engineers, and so forth. Give us a sense of the types of people.
There are so many. Broad categories, we have a very large engineering departments, both nuclear and non-nuclear. We have quality assurance. We have the folks down on the deck plate doing the work, and they're machinists. They're pipe fitters. There's welders, ship fitters, electricians, guys that deal with temporary services. Numerous trades. And then, all the support in the background as well to support all that effort.
And as probably one of the major economic driver of that region, the Hampton Roads area, what kinds of community outreach happens, and can people come in once a year and see what goes on there? How does that all work, your relations with the larger community?
We work hard at our relations with the community because we're part of the community and they're part of us, right? So it's very important. We do outreach. We do, we go into schools as well. We do have occasional opportunities where we have family days. We bring the families here to show what we do. So it is very important to us, and we work hard at keeping our relations with the local community very important to us.
And do you ever yourself, or do the officers from time to time get out to the ship repairs and maybe poke around inside just for a firsthand look-see?
Oh, yes. Yeah, we as the department head, senior leadership, including the commanding officer, fairly routine basis, we're out seeing what's going on, keeping in touch with our people, talking to them, looking at the work, and making sure that we're providing the best for them, and because they do very important work for us.
And when a ship is slid back out of the dry dock and off its sails, do you ever look at it and say, geez, I wish I was in that bridge?
It is. It's a great feeling to watch a ship, finish up in availability and leave the pier under its own power, heading up the river, going back out to sea. It's a very proud moment for the shipyard, quite a few people show up to watch it go because it is very very emotional and very moving. Yeah, so Norfolk Naval Shipyard and the other four public shipyards, including Puget Sound Naval Shipyard, Pearl Harbor Naval Shipyard, and Portsmouth Naval Shipyard, we do repairs, modernization, maintenance on the vessels. The private shipyards do the actual building of the vessel.
Now, carriers are, of course, filled with aircraft. Do you do maintenance on them, or is that somewhere else?
Yeah, we as Norfolk Naval Shipyard, we work on the ship itself. The aircraft are not on board the ship when it gets here, and that maintenance is done by other agents.
Navy Captain Jip Mossman is acting commander of the Norfolk Naval Shipyard. To listen to the interview in its entirety, go to federalnewsnetwork.com and search Agency in Focus. I'm Tom Temin.
Thank you for listening to Agency in Focus, Navy, sponsored by Leidos on federalnewsnetwork.com and 1500 AM. The entire program can be found on demand at federalnewsnetwork.com. Search Agency in Focus.
Leidos has proudly supported the U.S. Navy for nearly 50 years with systems and solutions that span from seafloor to cyberspace. We're advancing global missions with agile, innovative IT and providing cyber expertise built for resilience and rapid response to ever-evolving threats. Our team brings commercial best practices and leading-edge technologies matched with a deep understanding of the defense sector's most complex challenges. At Leidos, we're developing practical answers for a complicated world. Visit leidos.com/seafloor to learn how.